mouth disappears. When you come around, everything else vanishes. Birds have no heads. When you come around, everything loses its legs. When you come around, around, around. On the news at night, they talk about the abnormally. They interview the people who are authorities. Most are intrigued, some don't care. When you come around, when you are near, I feel so far away from the person. Disappear. When you come around, everything else vanishes. The sunlight swims away when you come around, and even darkness won't stay when you come around, 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 around.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman. Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
I can feel it coming.
feel like a superstar.
You are a superstar. And we are now on air. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Luke. Once again, you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And thank you for joining us today, because every week I've got a different guest on, and as always, I've got a very special guest this week. Yushan, please introduce yourself however you would like to.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yushan Lin. I am an associate professor in the Department of Chemistry at Tufts University. And so I grew up in Taiwan, and I first came to the United States for my PhD in Madison, Wisconsin. Then I moved to Stanford for my postdoc. I started at Tufts in 2012. And I got tenure in 2018. And so I've taught CHEM 1, CHEM 31, 32, 133, 134, 135, and a special topic class on computational chemistry.
That's awesome. which is what you study, right?
That's right. So right now my research focus is on using molecular dynamics simulation and machine learning to predict peptide structures and functions. But I didn't used to be a computational chemist when I was in college.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when I was in high school, I actually went to some kind of equivalence of maybe like NIH or NSF. So it's called Academia Sinica. I was actually doing mouse model. So we would induce cataract in mice using selenium.
Wow.
And we're trying to see if we can prevent or treat cataract. So I was very naive at that time, because I thought that, we're going to, you know, see how they're doing. In the end, we're going to do an eye surgery, take out their lenses, analyze the chemicals in them. So I was so shocked when the postdoc came in one day and then told me that we have to sacrifice them.
Yeah.
And I was like, defy sacrifice? And so she said, well, we're gonna kill them. So I couldn't do it. But then once the postdoc did it and gave me the eyeballs, I could actually, you know, kind of like grind them up and do the HPOC and whatever. But then I realized that animal model is not my thing. And in college, I was actually in a lab that does nanoparticle synthesis and laser spectroscopy. So I was actually doing well, but then in laser lab, you actually have to have like curtains. Everything has to be really dark. There's not gonna be like light.
Yeah.
So I started naming all the pieces of instrument after my ex-boyfriend.
You mentioned this.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, because they never cooperate, right? So I will be like, oh, Michael, good morning. It's you again, huh? Acting up. Yeah. So my friend was like, Yushan, this is not good for your mental health. So when I applied for graduate school, I asked my advisor if he could suggest or recommend some schools in the States that are good for computational chemistry. So I actually started first time programming when I was in graduate school.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How was that as a transition? I know a lot of the people that like start doing computer science here find it very kind of difficult to learn, but you do amazing research. So
yeah, so it was definitely a learning curve. And then at that time, we were writing in a language called Fortran. So it stands for Formula Translation. Formula Translation, Fortran 77 is the version I was using. I was not that ancient, but that's a version the previous group members have been using, right? So then you'll be like, I have two choices. I can rewrite this in a different language, or I can just stick with it, right? Then everybody was like, oh, we're just gonna stick to whatever the archaic language they wrote the program in. And then so I printed out the hundreds of lines of code and then tried to understand every single line. And then my group members definitely helped me a lot.
That's incredible.
And then later on, I found out that my PhD advisor, he was he's a theoretician, and so he does not know how to code at all. So he was at the time where people still do pencil paper theory. And then when he was established enough, and then computational modeling becomes a thing, and then so he was well established, so he could actually hire people, hire postdocs to actually come do the computational modeling.
With him, wow.
Yeah, so then he actually said when he first went to graduate school, his advisor asked him to debug a program that has thousands of lines, and then he quit. He said, I'm going to join a different group.
That's hilarious.
Yes. So, yeah, so that's when I started doing computational chemistry.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's another question that you picked out for here, which I wanted to ask anyway. You picked a lot of questions that I had wanted to ask, which was awesome, but, like, if you had to study something completely different, whether completely different within chemistry or just completely different. Do you have anything that you'd want to study?
Yeah. So when I had a sabbatical, so I think it's every 6 or 7 years, the professor get one semester off, like you don't have to teach that semester. So the idea is that you can actually go visit other labs, learn a new technique, and, you know, kind of like revive yourself. And so the semester I had the sabbatical, I decided to actually sit in like audit classes.
Yeah.
So I sat
at Tufts,
right? Because I was like, well, take advantage of that, right? So then you have a systematic system that will actually teach you knowledge. So I was like, I'll just audit a class. So I went to this introduction to music class, Western music. So it's an introduction to Western music. I was so bad at it. I was so bad at it, because I think they will play a piece of music. You actually have to identify who the musician is or what time it is, right? And so I was like, I thought I had good ears, but I actually don't. So I know that maybe like music, I appreciate it, but I cannot be an expert in it. So the next thing I want to try is I want to try the theater.
Okay.
So the film study, because I also really like movies. So then I want to know more about, you know, more the detail or more of the, you know, technical things or whatever in a more, I guess, systematic way, how people analyze films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From like from a comprehensive point of view, specifically with like camera work and how things are edited or like stories, or
I have no idea, but just, I guess I will just maximize my shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very respectable. Yeah. Music theory is hard. Just as a separate note, I played trombone in high school.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't do a lot of practicing. And so I would always come in and my teacher would go, "Do you have your piece prepared?" And I said, "Not really." And then he would try and, you know, because I wasn't ever great at playing. I really enjoyed playing, and I had great friends in the band, but like, He was such a great teacher because he would always try and pivot to like, let's talk about theory, and then maybe you can learn about theory, and that's what you're interested
in.
None of it really stuck. But I mean, he's an awesome teacher. Not his fault at all.
Right.
But I just, music theory is difficult, and I definitely get that.
Yeah, when I was in Taiwan, like somehow there was, I think it's like Yamaha pianos. Mm-hmm. So then it's like a big brand name. So they also offer classes to little kids. And have a commercial in Taiwan that actually says like something along the line of, kids who learn music will never turn bad or something. And my parents bought into it.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, you are going to learn piano.
Mm-hmm.
So within probably 2 weeks, the piano teacher and I were on the same page that I was not good at piano. Okay, but then I stuck to it for like 2 years solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do right hand, I could do left hand, but then both hands together. It's just not a thing. Yeah, I don't know why. So I gave it a shot, but then, I don't actually really play any music.
I mean, it's a difficult thing to do. Definitely is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we were talking a little bit before the show about stuff around the area, and one of the questions you put on here is, what's a restaurant nearby that you'd like?
Yeah, so then I guess the one that came in mind is this Chinese restaurant called Chili Garden.
Okay.
I think it's near Medford. It's in Medford, on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
So it's like a Sichuan restaurant, so it has like really spicy food.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of hilarious. I was trying to order online when I was in a car. I couldn't actually look at the menu on a big laptop, so I was looking on my phone and trying to come up with whatever Chinese dishes they possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
So then out of panic, I say, "Can I have sweet and sour chicken?" And then the guy was like, "We don't do sweet and sour chicken."
Oh, no.
And then I was like, "I'm so sorry. Yes, Sichuan restaurant, right, something spicy." Yeah, I hope they didn't track my phone number and didn't consider their disrespect to a solid Sichuan restaurant. Yeah.
I would be surprised if they tracked your phone down.
Right.
But that's the problem with having like a go-to order, you know, is when it's not there, there's so many options and you don't really know what to go for.
Out of panic, I just made up something that was like, no heat.
But have you been back? Do you have a favorite dish there? Or
so I really like this dish. I think it's called water boiled fish.
Okay.
So water boiled sounds like very plain, but it's like kind of like the opposite. So then I guess it's a very thin fish fillet, and then they actually just cook the fillet by just rinsing it over some really hot oil.
Yeah.
And then it's going to have a bed of cabbage with a really, really spicy broth with a lot of Sichuan peppercorn in it. Mm-hmm. So Sichuan peppercorn somehow gives you a different kind of spiciness.
Like heat, yeah.
Yeah, so then it actually numbs your scalp and tongue is what we say.
Wow.
So, right, so then it's kind of like a numbing sensation. But, you know, some people can get like very into it. Yeah.
That's that's a lot.
Spiciness is actually some kind of reaction. It's like similar to pain.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you like spicy food, you just, you know, you like a little bit of pain. Like you somehow, you know, develop a tolerance or enjoyment of that.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was expecting like people talk about different kinds of spices, and there's, you know, like back of the throat or like very
wasabi,
nasal
exactly.
spice. I was not expecting you to say that it just numbs you.
It numbs you, and then you can feel it still somehow on the top of your head, like on your skull.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I recommend that you try it sometime, maybe.
Do you
like spicy food?
I do. I especially when there are friends around and we're all like, we're gonna try this to see how it is.
Yeah.
Everything is worth trying, I think, for me, but I don't always have the best spice tolerance.
That is so I guess funny and brave, because my husband grew up in Virginia, so he's American, and so when we started dating, and then eventually, you know, he's like, I want to come visit your family in Taiwan, so he told me before we hop on the plane that he will try everything once.
Yep.
And to decide, you know, if he likes it or not, but he's going to be very open-minded. He's going to try everything at least once. I did not know I was not supposed to tell anybody about this. So the moment we landed, broadcasted, this guy will try everything once. And so all my family members and their friends was like, oh, really? Let's see.
Probably got more than he signed up for. Then.
Oh, yes. He ate things that I wouldn't eat. Yes. He drank something called lobster blood. So then if you go to a very fresh seafood restaurant, you can pick your fish, right? They are going to be in aquarium, still alive. Mm-hmm. They will just, you know, prep it right there. And you can pick a lobster, and they will just, you know, process it right there. And then when you cut into a lobster, apparently there is some kind of, like, goo, something that can come out. And that's what they call, like, the lobster blood. And then the tradition, tradition, the thing you can do is you can drink it. And then so supposedly healthy-ish, and then I was like, I'm not drinking that. My dad was like, I'm not drinking that. My mom was like, I'll drink it with Matt. Because in case something happens to him, we have an experiment. So she wants to make sure if she also gets sick, then it's because of the lobster blood that they just enjoyed.
Very kind of her, I feel like.
Yeah,
you know, that way he's not completely on his own. But,
correct, yes. And then between my parents, my mom, is always like the more brave one.
Mm-hmm.
Like we will go to like amusement park, and then we want to go out to ride. My dad will just be like, I can hold your bags. And then my mom will be the one who went on to the rides with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it's good to have someone like that. I'm the youngest in my family. I was not a fan of roller coasters for a long time.
Uh-huh.
For me, like, I love them now, but when they would go upside down, when I was young, I was like, that's too much for me. I'm scared I'm going to like fall or something.
Yes.
Or when there were like haunted houses or stuff like that, my mom would always sit out with me, and that felt good, because you're not just doing it by yourself. You know? But with like spicy food, the other thing with my parents is, you know, kids are very picky eaters, of course, but they had a policy where no matter what it is, you have to take one bite.
Oh, really?
And so it was
even spicy food?
Even spicy food.
Wow.
It was the no thank you bite. And I was more like, for like food that they made for us, is like they don't want to put all this work into making like spinach, and then you're a kid and you're like, spinach is gross, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it's a good mentality to have, you mm-hmm, know, I think mm-hmm. of like, I'll give this a try, and it, mm-hmm, and if it mm-hmm. doesn't go, then it doesn't go, but right. at least I gave it a try.
Yeah. No, I think my husband Matt is also instilling this in our family. So our two younger kids, Jordy and Cody, one is 5, the other one is 2. The 5-year-old, mm-hmm. like, he will try to encourage him to try at least something once before he makes a decision on yeah. if he likes it or not. Yeah, and then I think some people say that it actually takes kids like multiple tries, like 3 to 5 times, mm-hmm. to kind of get a true feeling of the food. So can actually keep putting it back in front of them. Maybe one day they yeah. will develop a different appreciation.
I mm-hmm. had never heard it like that before, mm-hmm. but like I know people's like tastes change over time, mm-hmm. and like I wonder if I just refused Brussels sprouts enough times, you know, and then like now I've had them a couple more and they're really good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you want to jump into some music and then we'll come back with some questions?
Sure. Sounds good.
Sweet. Do you have, of the songs you picked out, do you have any that you would like to go to?
Well, I guess The Believer, maybe, since it's early on. I picked some that I feel it would be like a good falling asleep music.
Oh,
and
yeah.
some that's like, I'm going to wake you up music.
I would... we can let the audience guess what this is, but I've definitely got a guess in my mind for okay. for this song. We will be right back in a minute.
All right. Awesome.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail, I'm the master of my sea. Oh, I was broken from a young age, taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took to me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
That's Imagine Dragon songs, I think, in general, have a lot of, like, fun things going on in the background. Yes. I don't, yeah.
This is my workout song.
For sure.
Right, because yep. It was just like, pain! I was like, okay, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the pain, yes.
Okay, we'll get into the question that I said. Yeah. We were going to talk about casual right. hobbies, but yeah. I want to add, like, you were in the fall when you taught Physical Chemistry 1, which is
That's
the
right.
class that I know you from.
Mm-hmm.
You did a lot of talking about working out, and I think you were getting back into it at that
That's
point,
right.
and I just, how is it going now?
Not well.
Yeah.
So, did it happen at the end of semester? Yes, I think it did. I couldn't actually raise my left arm, so I think I tore some tendon.
Oh, no.
And then the hilarious thing is, I didn't want to go to see a doctor, but I couldn't even lie on my left side when I went to bed. So, Matt finally told me that you had to go see a doctor. You had to make mm-hmm. a phone call. So I was like, I'm very, very sure this is just like I tore a muscle or a tendon. And
yeah.
so anyway, he's like, you got to call. So I called them. So the funny thing is, I did not know this, but the moment you call your doctor mm-hmm. and then say that I feel pain on my left chest, they will not let you off the phone.
Oh, because they think it might be like a stroke?
Right, you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you off the phone until they find you an appointment tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. So then I would just like, I
Whoa.
Just need a referral to go to yeah. a physical therapist. They were like, no, we're going to transfer you to urgent care. We're going to get your appointment. So when I went in, and then mm-hmm. I was like, I think I tore a tendon, I tore a muscle. I just need a referral to go to see a physical therapist.
Yeah.
And then so, unfortunately, my blood pressure was slightly higher that day.
Oh
so we went
gosh.
Through the whole deal. I got a chest x-ray, I got an ECG, and then they were like, okay, I think we think you don't have a heart attack, so you can go see your physical therapist now. So then now mm-hmm. I'm trying to get back to it again.
Yeah.
yeah. So we are now like riding Peloton. We
yep.
are running on treadmills, and you can imagine these are all very indoor
activities.
Because,
yeah.
because winter in Boston can be a little bit rough.
To like go on runs outside
correct.
And stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got into working out not it's just like once or twice a week in the fall semester, and I kind of
oh.
have let go of it a little bit
uh-huh,
over the past
uh-huh,
month
uh-huh.
or so as school
yes.
has ramped up a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, runs in the fall are very nice, and then all of a sudden
uh-huh.
there's a day that just comes and
yeah.
it's like it's cold. It's
mm-hmm,
darn
mm-hmm.
cold outside,
right.
you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah, no, I'm definitely trying to pick it up because I do enjoy weight training
mm-hmm.
Because I like the pain. Yes.
It's circling back to spicy food as well. It's
that's,
like, yeah.
There seems to be a theme. Yeah, so no, but I really look looking forward to, you know, going back to working out more.
For sure. Got to be able to lift those big chalkboards
in
Pearson.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
uh-huh. But I think nobody will doubt that I have very strong fingers because I break so many chalks. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're so fragile. I was like, what's wrong? Do I just have very strong fingers?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
yes.
probably it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also tend to write really, really fast.
I can confirm.
I write really, really fast. And so during the pandemic, I did also teach over Zoom, and then I will actually
yeah.
write a piece of paper, and then there will be like a document projector. They will project what I write.
Yeah.
So then, I write even faster on a piece of paper.
mm-hmm.
So I was like, chalk.
Yeah. With chalk, there's like a little bit of resistance, and you've got to worry about breaking
correct.
It, and so
yes.
that slows
uh-huh.
it. And generally, I mean, you're reaching a lot more,
right.
so that slows
yeah.
you down a little
mm-hmm.
bit. But like, I'll definitely testify that you get done with like a lecture, and then you just kind of like tell a story about your life, walking around the classroom while everyone is like frantically trying to catch up, you know?
Yes, and then that's why I gave you all the red, yellow, and green,
green
cards.
Yep.
And then there are several occasions people did. You gotta slow down. Yeah.
And so, I think, like, uh-huh. from a... It's just kind of funny to be mm-hmm. able to, like, I gave my teacher a yellow card today.
Yes.
In, like, soccer or
uh-huh,
something.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. But then all she did is she rolled too fast, though.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought that was a good, like, kind of like a fun, good practice to actually slow me down. Because
yeah.
I always think everyone should know their weakness. I definitely know. I tend to go too fast, so yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's a good way to like engage with the students as well a little bit, just that little bit of interaction, and then
right.
we also used those flashcards for like polls in class,
yes,
of like which
yes.
answer do you think mm-hmm. is correct? Was it red? Is it yellow or green?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I also think we had a very good class. I think I hope like a lot of people ask questions, which mm-hmm. also slow me down. And then I assure you, whatever question you ask, there yeah. are like 5 to 10 other students in the classroom that were like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
absolutely. It was really good. Yeah. But getting back to how we said we were gonna start. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's a casual hobby that you have?
Oh, I'm so boring. So I like watching TV. This really is my go-to.
Yeah?
Yeah. I grew up in like suburb Taipei mm-hmm. and then so I don't, you know, go out to the mountains a lot. So yeah. even though that we now actually have a hobby farm. So we used to live in Cambridge near Davis Square.
Yeah.
And we have like a townhouse, which is like very vertical, very Cambridge style.
Yeah.
And then now since like we have 2 kids, we were like, oh, we need more space. And Matt is from Virginia, and then his family used to own a farm.
Yeah.
So then he's like, oh, you know, I really want a farm. So it's time that I did 10 years in Cambridge for you. Now we can do 10 years in the suburb. So now yeah. we have 10 acres of land. He actually has
wow.
a hobby farm with 5 chicken and goats and sheep. And we just had lambs and two dogs, 2 cats. Yeah. And then thankfully, he takes care of all of those mm-hmm. because I have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
So my hobby is still watching TV, even though there's a lot for me at the house that I could do, you know, gardening,
yep.
right?
A lot to be learned, but at the same time, mm-hmm. I mean, TV is right there, and it doesn't require too much effort.
Yes, and it's like mm-hmm. so enjoyable. Like,
yeah.
I used to have a table that will actually rise up, and you can just put your food right in front of you. It's
yep.
like a dinner and a show, and then nowadays I just watch what I call like brain candies. Like mm-hmm. nothing complicated, just fun, like
yep.
just relaxing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything that you're watching right now?
So actually, a Chem 31 student recommended this show to me. It's called Ted Lasso.
I watch over spring break. I watched the uh-huh. first season with my parents,
yeah.
and I loved it. It's a great uh-huh. show.
Right. It yeah. was. It was. It was very cute. It was very like, you know, heartening kind
yeah.
of show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say there is anything specifically kind of like too exciting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then I enjoy the show. So
yeah.
I thank you for recommending it, Chem 31 students.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good show, and
yeah.
it's got light moments. It's also got like feeling behind it, you
right.
know, which is
yeah.
nice.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
uh-huh. And then also got some like confusing terminology about soccer and football.
True. Yeah. What I didn't realize until very uh-huh. recently is the same guy mm-hmm. that plays Ted Lasso in the show, like
yeah.
5 or 10 years ago, did comedy commercials for, I think, when ESPN started to cover European
soccer. Okay.
And,
that's so neat.
And it's the
uh-huh.
same exact character. And like
uh-huh.
some of the jokes even from these just like 5 minute
uh-huh.
skits where it's like,
uh-huh.
oh, it's this American football coach,
uh-huh.
you know,
uh-huh.
Who doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
But
okay.
I had no idea that that's like part of where
mm-hmm.
it came from. Not all,
I
like, because I think they of course built it out a little
uh-huh.
bit more.
Uh-huh.
So he's got more of a character and there's
right.
more going on.
Right.
But
yeah.
I had no idea
uh-huh.
that that's like part of the inspiration.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. But now I've dug myself a little bit of a hole because I started watching it with my parents, and so I need to keep watching it with my parents.
Oh.
And so while I'm at school,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard to keep up.
I see.
And
uh-huh.
so it'll be something for breaks when I go back home.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have a fun memory from your childhood that's...
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a fun, but also I don't think I will call it sad memory. So
okay.
then the fun memory that I had is actually going to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So McDonald's is a thing in Taiwan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of expensive for like Taiwan's cost of living thing.
Yeah.
And then so, but then they have this like kids playing area.
Mm-hmm.
So my younger sister and I like really wants to go to McDonald's. But then non-McDonald's foods, like outside, like you have, we have a, like a night market in the city that I grew up in. It's like way cheaper. So then what my parents would do is they will actually take us to McDonald's. They will order two happy meals for us. Then they will take turn watching us while the other person went to get food from the night market that is much cheaper. So I did not realize what they were doing until I was much older. But looking back, I was like, oh, you are such nice parents.
Yeah.
Because we were not very rich. Like, I think my parents were pretty poor when I grew up. Mm. Yeah. And then so then they are still trying to save money. So going to McDonald's is actually like a treat for the family. Yeah. And then they were only do it for the kids, and then they themselves are still gonna go eat regular food.
That's really sweet of them.
I wish I would do that for my kids.
But instead they have to take care of goats.
That's right. So because my parents really spoiled us, like, even though they were not very well off, like, whatever we asked for, as long as it's reasonable, they will actually always try to provide. And then they also want us to, you know, like, study. They feel like getting good grades is important. They want us to get good education. So then I basically did not do any chore when I was growing up.
Wow.
On the other hand, Matt's family believes in that every kid has to have some kind of chores that they do, because everybody needs to participate in supporting the family.
Yeah.
So, which is what we are doing with our kids. And I totally support that. Mommy gets the sweetest deal.
You got people to help you out. Might as well use them.
Right. And then, but I do see that that is important, because we try not to pin, like, if you do this chore, if you bring the dishes to the kitchen, we will give you a piece of candy or something.
Yeah.
Because that is something that everybody in the family is supposed to do. So that you are not getting extra reward for doing what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then we don't reward them for doing chores, because then everybody is doing what they need to contribute to the family to their best.
That's, I think, a great way to look at it.
Yeah. I am such a lousy parent, so I'm very grateful that my husband knows so about this. Do you have a fun childhood memory?
Oh, that's a good question.
Too many.
Mm-hmm. Very many. I have a funny story. I still like to, like, push my sleeves up when I'm wearing long sleeve shirts.
Okay.
And like, at some point, when I was, like, I guess old, I don't know. I don't know what changed, but summer came around and I started wearing short sleeves, and I kept tugging on my sleeve going, like, my shirt is broken, because I was expecting it to cover my arm.
That is very sweet.
But I... chores, I feel like, are a difficult thing to balance, you know.
Yes.
And I'm grateful that I had a similar thing of like, there are a certain number of things that we're expecting you to help out with.
Right.
And my parents were, I think, similar to your parents in some ways, and similar to Matt's parents in some ways, where they encouraged me not to get a job during high school, because they're like, school is your job. Mm-hmm. Like focus on academics, focus on studying. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, there was a level of, like, you know, we're cleaning the bathrooms. My mom really likes cleaning, and I've inherited that from her a lot, which has helped me in college when it's like, well, now I've got my own room and I need to figure out what to do with it, you know? I own a Swiffer, and, like, that's
that's so neat.
Strange thing when you've just got, like, your one room, but
Very cool. I wish I'm more like you. Like, I guess based on me being a computational chemist, you can probably guess I'm pretty clumsy. So then I also got banned from the kitchen by my parents because I offer to actually peel an apple, peel apples for everybody for fruit, and then I literally there's a piece of my thumb that just flew off and you know stink.
No.
And then after that, they were like, "No, you're not entering the kitchen."
Yeah.
Yes. So they are a little bit protective, maybe a little bit overreacting, but I definitely did some very silly things. I got myself kicked out from the kitchen, so yeah.
Have you had a slow return ever, or are you just like, apples hurt me, I'm done, I'm not gonna cook anymore?
I think nowadays I can handle apple.
Okay.
Like the probability of me having an injury in the kitchen is much lower now. I think I got a handle of it.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Would you like to jump into another song?
Sure.
And then we can come back and talk until the end of the show.
Cool. Great.
Anything in particular you'd like to go to?
If you want to put people in sleepy mode, yeah, that's sleepy mode. That's not sleepy mode. Sleepy mode is.
Sleepy mode?
Sleepy mode.
All right. We're going to give you guys some sleepy mode, and we will be back in a second.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of an announcement real quick, and then we'll get on with the show. Looking for some sweet, great-tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating dried fruit. Dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, preservatives, and other ingredients, but no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than a candy or processed snack. This has been a public service message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. We were just talking about dried fruit.
Yes.
And that's pretty neat that in here it says it's better than candy.
Yeah, and that's so awesome. So I sometimes need to edit a lot of students' documents, like their reports, and also like my own grant proposals.
Yeah.
And I sometimes will make students read out loud what they write. And when they are running out of breath, then you know that their sentence is too long, right? So then I think when you are using your eyes to read through words versus when you speak, it actually gets processed through different parts of the brain. So it gives you another way to check your word. And I somehow just found out maybe several months ago that in Word, there's a button you can press. It can read aloud. There will be a human voice that will read aloud what you wrote.
I did not know that.
Yes, you can even select characters. And it's really, really
like
funny.
Like different voices?
Different voices,
wow.
Yes. And then so I find it actually helpful and sometimes soothing to have a person read out my grant proposal.
Mm.
Yeah, so what you were reading the public announcement, which reminds me, I was like, oh, wow, he is doing such a great job.
Oh, I
wish I have a Luke voice.
We'll see what we can do about that.
All right. I'll have to talk to Microsoft.
Yep. Uh-huh. It's probably helpful as well, because I do that when like reading through essays for school as well. Mm-hmm. It can get kind of tiring, though, especially with like the humanities classes, six, seven page type things. And it's like, well, I am tired of editing this. And so I am going to look into that.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
Sweet. Well, we said we wanted to talk about travel a little bit in the last couple minutes.
Yep.
Would you like to start with a place that you've been to or a place that you'd like to go?
I will start with a place I've been to. Somehow when I saw this question, the first answer that jumped out from my mind is I went to Paris for a workshop on computational chemistry. And then why I still remember this is because a bunch of nerds, like the computational chemists, we went to a lot of museums, just walk around, and then so we went to this museum called Museum d'Orsay. I don't know how to pronounce it, but then Museum d'Orsay, it's like M and then O for the Orsay, and then so they sell in their souvenir store like mugs that says M and then O, and then it also has like a painting. So I have the same birthday as Vincent van Gogh.
Whoa.
When my sister found out, my sister was like, please don't send me your ear. And then I bought a mug that has M-O written on it with, I guess, a Starry Night painting.
Yeah.
And then I had to buy that mug because it has the Van Gogh picture. Also because M-O means molecular orbitals.
There you go.
So I gotta have this chemistry mug from Museum d'Orsay.
Yeah.
And I broke it, so I still remember.
No.
I broke it. I was so sad.
Yeah.
So I still remember that mug. And then maybe one day when I go back to Paris, I will definitely need to get another one. Or seven.
Or seven.
Oh, seven. Just in case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you never know what happens.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So that's the place I thought of when I saw that question.
That's an awesome story. And I, this summer, am going to Tawar. I don't know if you're familiar with the Tufts and Tawar program at all.
Oh, wow.
But
yes, so
not
cool.
Quite Paris, but France. I think for the place that I'd like to go is like, I'm getting really excited for that, you know?
Yes, it'll be so fun.
I'm really excited.
How did you get into the program? Like, what magic do you have to do?
Well, it's... if you apply on time,
right.
I think, and you
don't you have to have a project that's related to, like, you have to have a reason why you have to be in France?
There are programs like that, and okay. there's a scholarship as well tied into it.
Okay.
But for this program, it's just 6 weeks. You go, you take two classes.
All right.
And for the most part, if you apply on time, you're able to get in.
Okay. Very cool.
So, yeah.
Because I guess for faculty members, we can also apply
to
be there, but then we have to propose a project that needs to be done. Like, why do you need to be in France to actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might be easier for, like, language or humanities, because, like, for chemists, it was like, well, I can basically do my work anywhere, so why not in France? No. So then I couldn't come up with a legitimate project that gives me a reason to go. So that's sad. Yeah, but anyway, good for you.
An idea.
Yes.
I don't know how much you work in the material science realm at all, but they figured out how to do, they figured out mirrors in France. And that's like where, and there are a whole bunch of chemists from France. I worked this summer as an intern for Saint-Gobain, which is a very French company.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to watch like 3 or 4 hours of onboarding videos where they go through their like whole history, and I'm blanking on them all right now.
Uh-huh.
But there are a whole bunch of chemists from France either a history of chemistry thing or like like material science working in discoveries that have been there, and then that way there are cool field trips. Just just throwing that out there.
Cool. All right. I need to look into it, because it would be so cool to be able to visit that campus.
Yeah, it's really neat from what I hear. It's not air conditioned. And neither is the room we're in right now, but it's like it's in old monastery, and so it's I'm told it's never the temperature you want it to be, and so I'm gonna bring a lot of layers.
Okay, awesome, but somehow it reminds me of there are these conferences called Golden Research Conferences on specific research topic.
Mm-hmm.
So then I've been to several of them, and one of them is on water and aqueous solution, and it's in Holderness High School in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And it's like a summer camp for a bunch of professors and graduate students, because I remember I was in graduate school at that time. I arrived and then check in. It was still a time to give you like a printed brochure, and so I was like, thank you, but I didn't get a key, and they were like, because there's no lock on your door. I was like, what do you mean there's no lock on my door?
Whoa.
And they're like, because you're going to stay in the high school dorm room. So it's like bunk beds and then shared shower. And then so I was like, this is such a group spirit activity, right? So you basically lock a bunch of scientists. They all study the same topic. And it's like summer camp, guys.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
What a positive way to look at that.
Yes.
Can imagine that might be a little overwhelming when you're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. But
yes, I know. I roll with it.
That's
And then
a
they
great
were
going to
charge us $5 for a fan. It was in July. And then the conference chair was like, if you charge us $5 for a fan, for each fan, we are never coming back to this site. So they gave us the fans for free, but you can imagine like how hot and humid it can
be
like in July and August in the Boston area.
Yeah.
So there was a very interesting experience.
That's nuts. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So
awesome. Well, we're coming up on the end here of the show. Is there anything that you'd like to say or talk about? Any quick question that you want to get in, or otherwise, we can wrap up and move to a song.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lou, for having me here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. I
really enjoyed it.
Great.
Yeah. Sweet. Do you have a song you want to go out on?
Whichever one.
All right. We're going to go with Against All Odds by Mariah Carey.
Fantastic.
And yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you in 2 weeks.
When I stand here taking every breath with you, you're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? Take a look at me now.